predators targeting the island. FEMA must waive any requirement forcing the people of Puerto Rico to contribute additional funds to their own relief effort in the middle of a debt crisis.
Masto making her comments for the Democrats this week. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Hello once again. Boomer Tech Radio is the name of this program. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Welcome to the show with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and
news you can use.
Tech news you can use.
True.
And if you want to download previous episodes, go to BoomerTechRadio.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast at Apple iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. You can also go right to the website, BoomerTechRadio.com, and get the episodes there along with the occasional show notes. Also, if you have the Flipboard app, there is a BoomerTech Radio magazine. And we often kind of flip through there, as the name implies, to find ourselves some things to talk about. Because we don't have a legion of reporters. We don't even have a small group of reporters. We just have us.
Yes, we're it. Yeah. Knobology, whatever, ology,
if we're live,
talkology.
I'm answering my own phones. This episode being recorded on Thursday, the 28th day of September. Where the hell did 2017 go? Man.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah. I'm seeing Christmas stuff. No. It's wrong.
Yeah, I saw an article somewhere, the top tech must-have toys for the holidays 2017. What? It's September.
A week ago, you were sitting in a puddle of your own sweat.
Well,
you're in Northern California.
Afternoons are like that again, but at least the mornings and the evenings are a lot cooler. But oh my goodness.
Oh,
really? Seriously?
Christmas, yeah.
We haven't even seen Halloween yet.
No.
Haven't even seen Columbus Day or whatever they call it.
Usually they start trotting out the decorations right after Labor Day.
Man.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Hey, here's a few quick things. We got a whole lot of news this week. Amazon has unveiled, and we're going to talk about this, a whole new range of Alexa-enabled hardware product, newly designed Echo Smart Speaker, a new Echo Spot, Echo Plus, and updated Fire TV with 4K support.
And a little doohickey that lets you make phone calls.
Yes, we'll be talking about that. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is responding to President Trump's tweets, in which it was claimed that Facebook has always been against him.
Whatever.
The Zuck says the platform has always been mostly neutral and overall a force for good. Do no evil. Never mind the fact it's one of the most despised services. If you love to hate it, right?
Recently, someone told me they're taking Facebook off their phone.
Facebook eats Android phones.
Exactly. And that's exactly what she said. She says she's sick of it. And it keeps forcing these things on her that she doesn't want, these notifications that she couldn't care less about, and all of these kind of things. She says, I'm done. I've had it. I'm tired of it eating up my free time.
Oddly, Facebook on my tablet is no big deal. I have it on my iPad. Is no big deal. Doesn't seem to... it seems to go idle when I am off of, am not using the app.
There you go.
But I have all the notifications turned off on the Android. I got all the notifications turned off, and it still chewed up my battery, so I took it out of there. Yeah, you're fired.
Well, I said there's ways you can set that for all these things. She says, yeah, but she's really tired of people posting political things and garbage and whatever. So she says, I'm done with it.
Political roadkill.
And, yeah, she doesn't have internet at home. I mean, that is her connection, yeah. As is true for so many folks.
Yeah, we're going to go into that. What happens when you lose the internet?
Or you just simply can't afford it or yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Apple has published a technical paper that details the iPhone X's Face ID system. The new identification system will work with all of the apps that use Touch ID. It's not designed for children under age of 13. Interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah, your biometrics obviously alter a bit.
Yeah.
SoftBank, that's a tech conglomerate, reportedly wants to buy a huge part of Uber. Now, interestingly enough, one of the caveats of the deal is that it could be that part of the deal, get this, a ban prohibiting former CEO Travis Kalanick from coming back as either a CEO or a chairman. They dislike the negative publicity around Kalanick is that bad.
Hmm. So Uber's going to become something else.
Well,
they bought out by another company.
No, they are evolving, however. I've got another Uber story here. They're going to shut down their unprofitable auto leasing business. Now, they had a thing going where if you wanted to be an Uber driver, you could lease the car like you do from a cab company.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't turn out. It was very unprofitable. So about 500 jobs. The company says it needs to find a less capital-intensive approach. They underestimated the loss per vehicle costs. Speaking of vehicles, you can address this because you read the Facebook posting and I didn't. Our sponsor Tim Morlock came back from an automotive show, an auto repair show,
right?
And he said he was just blown away.
Well, yeah, there were so many things about the automated cars and all this, which you know. The car companies, I think that he's a little too excited too soon because I'm not sure that that's actually going to be what actually happens.
But the grease monkey mechanic is
pretty much
fading away.
Shade tree mechanics, yeah. It's going to become more of a hobby than anything else. You'll have to do it on older vehicles and things like that because your car is now, well...
Integrated system.
True, and I'm reminded of my brother who has a Prius to commute with in the city environment, not San Francisco, the city, but an urban environment. He lives in the Phoenix, Arizona area. Said that it's the only car he's ever had that he's really never looked under the hood.
Yeah.
If you open the hood, if you open the hood, you can't see anything anyway.
It's a block with some wires coming out of
it.
It's a black box.
Sort of like that. Yeah. It's all covered up.
We're going to talk about Amazon's Echo and the Alexa ecosystem. Over 5,000 employees at Amazon work just on Alexa and Echo. A year ago, that number was just 1,000. And there's another 1,500 open positions for Alexa-related jobs. So we're going to talk a little bit about that during the course of the show. Finally, Roku. Oh, a couple of more things. Not finally. Google is rolling out overhauled shopping search results in Europe. You know, they got in a big bunch of trouble, had to pay huge fines because sponsored results were pushed to the top of Google's search engine. And the European Union said, you can't do that, whacked them on the wrist to the tune of $10 million. So Google is changing the way their algorithms, and now it's going to make nobody happy because the people who are complaining will still complain, and the advertisers won't see their stuff coming up, so they'll complain and pull their dollars.
So nobody's happy.
Nobody will be happy, which is very typical of any government intervention. And let's see here. And Roku, that's the other little set-top box that will record your shows and play them back. They're preparing for an initial product offering. The price is going to be up about $14 a share. That makes the company worth about $1.3 billion. Trades will start on NASDAQ as of today's recording. It'll be interesting to see if you are a tech geek looking and see just how good or how bad Roku does in their initial public offering.
Yeah.
Will they make their targets?
Or is it going to be one of those where it soars in the beginning and then dies
crashes
immediately?
And burns.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Which happens frequently. So when the FCC is asking Apple and other smartphone manufacturers to activate the FM radio chip that sits inside most smartphones. I didn't know if you knew this, but there is a little FM receiver inside most smartphones.
Why did they put it there in the first place?
It was just part of future expansion. It's part of the chipset, and it sits idle. It is intentionally disabled by the software. Well, why would they want to do that? Revenue from streaming.
Can you say iTunes, Pandora, right. You know, whatever? Sirius FM?
Yeah. So the money was on not giving people access to the radio so that they would be forced to listen to streaming audio and pay for the privilege of doing so. FCC chairman is saying that Apple should flip the switch and turn on the FM radio. This in the wake of the major hurricanes that took out communications for millions of people when the infrastructure went down and the cell phone towers went down. The smartphones became bricks.
Well, in a way, yeah. I mean, they'll be able to be used again, but with the infrastructure
correct.
Done, there's no way to communicate.
Right. And that's why I tell people, you know, if all you have is a smartphone for your connection and the smartphone network goes out, you're kind of hosed.
Well, and who has a radio anymore type of thing, because you can look so much up on your smartphone.
Right.
And have access to things on the Internet and whatever. I happen to like radio, not just because we do a radio show, but it's kind of a... turn it on, hands off, you know, you don't have to keep refreshing it, doesn't require a password, that kind of thing. It's an automatic thing. And, of course, you can still buy radios.
Yeah.
And assuming that the radio stations had some access to power, either emergency power or whatever, they could have broadcast. If those FM frequencies had been open on the smartphones, they could have been used to send important messages to people.
Now, I have to check this out.
Even though the cell tower was down.
Yeah. I have to check this out on our galaxies. Supposedly, Samsung, HTC, Motorola, and LG have their FM receivers turned on. You have to have an app to access that. The Galaxy S8 and the Moto S5 Plus have FM capability working. So I have to look that up, if the FM tuner can be activated on our smartphones.
We'll check that out.
Apple continues to hold out. And according to the FCC, it's the last major phone manufacturer that is resisting. Apple said in a statement, the 7 and 8 do not have FM radio chips in them. So it's not possible to activate FM reception, but a lot of people
have older phones.
Have phones that do have the FM chip in them, and it would be the price of sticking an FM chip in a smartphone is next to nothing.
Probably, broadcast signals are still one of the most robust and reliable ways of getting emergency information out to people in times of a disaster. So this could be a good thing.
Yeah, now Apple says it cares deeply about the safety of our users, especially during times of crisis. Company says it has several safety solutions in its products, such as allowing users to dial emergency services and access medical ID card information directly from the lock screen. Also enabling government emergency notifications like weather advisories and Amber Alerts. Of course, all this needs...
That's a moot point.
Cell tower is laying on the ground, that's a useless feature.
Absolutely. It's not one that can be utilized.
So the logic here is if the FM chip can be enabled,
right?
Then emergency broadcasts, not from this station, but from the station that's broadcasting in the FM band.
Right.
You could still pick that up.
Well, and there's often these stations turn their total broadcasting over to where you can get stuff, you know, the latest safety information, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of thing.
And it would be
sort of like election night, except that it's for disaster coverage.
I could see where the phone might be able to, if you have a, let's say you're in a tornado area, and this station and every other station is required by the government to take part in the Emergency Alert System, the EAS, That's those weird tones you hear a couple of times a week from just about any radio station. That beep, beep, beep. What that does is activate receivers that are set to pick up that signal. Very easy to have the FM chip in any phone pick up on that signal, because the delay in getting something out on the cellular network might be significant, especially if there's a hack.
Well, weather radios were at one time a big deal, and you can still get them, and they are designed to trigger off. A lot of them will trigger off automatically on that tone.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know if that chip will pick up, can be retuned to pick up NOAA, because it's a software-defined radio. I would think that it could be easily picked up, tuned to pick up NOAA weather radio.
It would be interesting.
Because it's an FM signal.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, FCC, are you listening? Oh, boy.
Apple, too, for that
matter. Broadcast signals off the most resilient and reliable form of communication during a disaster. So, and, of course, big salute to the ham radio operators who are maintaining those essential communications.
That's one of the features that most ham operators are prepared for, losing commercial power and being able to sustain operations on their own for some period of time.
Yeah, well, now we're members of the, as we have said several times on this program, of the Coast Guard Auxiliary, and we had auxiliary radio communications specialists heading down to Florida to assist with the, with Florida and to Houston before that, to assist with the emergency communications. So, by the way, if you've got a kid who really likes to tinker with stuff and maybe they're really good at taking apart things, you might want to turn them on to ham radio. It is still a viable and growing hobby. And if you are in the Reading area here listening to the show on KCNR, take them over to, there's a store here in town that actually has some ham radio stuff. They don't have the transceivers, but they've got a lot of the accessories and things you need, and they can turn you on to some good information. And it's called Bentronics. And so if you're here in Reading, go down there. They're not an advertiser of the show, but we I go in there, and I like the cut of his jib. He's a great guy. So
when's the swap meet?
21st, I think. 21st of October,
okay.
I do believe.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a great way. Ham radio people are a little bit off kilter, but they're great.
That's what makes us so cool.
KI6SUN at your service, yes.
KI6SUM at your service.
So, think about getting a ham radio license, because when the cell goes down, look at the folks down in Puerto Rico.
Sure.
Have no way of talking to each other. It is the few ham operators who live down there who are maintaining a lot of, and plus the government emergency communications. This is just the sort of thing that ham radio steps up for.
Yep. Indeed, it does.
So we've talked about our experiences with our Galaxy Note 8s, the latest kid on the block. And Brenda, your impression so far, especially in terms of your best bugaboo about any smartphone, the battery.
Well, that's anybody's problem with these things, right? I'm impressed for such a powerful device and all of the things that it does and has going on in it. It's very conservative on battery use. Now, I think I set mine to my battery management to something that's, you know, more efficient. But whatever, I have not had any problems with what I want to do.
Yeah, compromise between longevity and performance.
Right. I haven't had any performance issues at this point. And the longevity is certainly there. It's quite amazing. The one thing that I haven't talked about, because we haven't, revisited our Note 8s here, is I love, love, love the feature of being able to pick the stylus out and just start writing
it.
Scribble a note. You can actually write yourself a note and then save it in notes. And it sometimes that's more efficient than saying, you know, hey, Google, make a list.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always get the voice structure right.
In fact, this morning during a live remote on this station, I had to let the host, Carl Bott, knows something. I whip out my Galaxy, pull the stylus out, write a note on the screen, and put it in front of his face.
Right.
And it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it works. I love it because I can make myself a list real quick.
So it's kind of like the slate that divers have.
Yeah, and you can write yourself a note, write yourself a list. Very handy. I really like that part.
So if you've got a Galaxy Note 8 and you've got a lot of apps on it, if you swipe up from the bottom of the screen, you see all the apps that are on the phone, not just the ones you use most often, which is kind of nice. You can keep the ones you use most often on it, sorted through a couple of different screens. If you swipe up from the bottom, you see everything, including all the crapware that, in our case, Verizon stuck on the thing.
Comes with whether you want it or not.
The Samsung software and all that. But you can hide all that in the app drawer. Well, the app drawer can look like kind of a mess, like your kitchen's junk drawer. What you can do is sort it alphabetically. And how you do that, if you've opened up the app drawer by swiping up from the bottom, if you look in the upper right, you see three vertical dots. That's called your overflow icon. That's stuff that doesn't appear on the menu immediately.
Anytime you see that, you can tap that on any device, and you'll get more stuff to be able
to
do.
It's like the hamburger menu, which is three horizontal lines.
Instead of three horizontal lines, it's three dots.
So if you tap sort and then alphabetical order, boom, lo and behold, all your apps are now alphabetically sorted in your app drawer. Pretty handy. It's sort of like, well, you've been able to do that in Windows for a long time. Right-click your screen, arrange icon by, and then alphabetical or size or whatever.
It's the same concept.
Yep. So, but a lot of smartphones didn't do that necessarily. GPS. You got it. What did we do before GPS came along?
I don't know. What did we do before cell phones? Or what did we do before voicemail? There we go. Yeah, let's
We talked to other human beings.
Telephones and everything were kind of just sort of rolling along, status quo, not changing a whole lot, until we got answering machines.
Yeah.
And then we got voicemail. I mean, you didn't need an answering machine, but, I mean, answering machines were just, they were awesome.
Yeah.
You didn't have to worry about missing any calls.
So, you got to think about how cool is it that... And we've only been able to do this for 20 years. Well, a little longer than that. But the early GPS units were pretty clunky. In fact, the original U.S. Army Global Positioning System, that was only for the military, was a full-blown backpack, and it took you 15 minutes to get a precise fix. But it was better than anything up to that point.
Absolutely.
In the Bill Clinton, in one of his executive orders, people don't know this, Bill Clinton actually signed the order that allowed the, because before this order was signed, there was worry about, you know, hostile powers misusing our GPS system.
Right.
There was a lot of clamor from especially the boating community, who were depending on paper charts and sextants and a system called LORAN that's only accurate to within about a half a mile, if you're lucky, to keep from running up on the rocks, which is a bad thing if you're in a boat. Trust me, we know this. So Clinton signed the bill, and suddenly GPS became now accurate to within a couple of hundred feet. Since then, the accuracy has continued to improve on the global positioning system. Right now, you're good to about 5 feet, or well, 5 meters, that's 15 feet. But a new chip is on the way that will make these systems' accuracy down to 30 centimeters. And
it's a little under 15 inches.
Yeah. That's pretty
amazing.
A
foot and a half, just to make it
less than the
easy.
Width of your body.
Yeah, just over a foot.
Yeah. The news delivered by the Institute of Electrical Engineers, Electrical and Electronics Engineers, the chip would be more energy efficient, consuming half the power of today's generation of chips, because right now the GPS is quite the power hog in any device. The GPS functionality will work even when you're in among all the concrete of a big city.
So in 2018, this new chip is supposed to be put into some smartphones. Yeah. And they're already talking about the Galaxy S9. They just turned the S8 loose. What is going on?
Well, it's always the next big thing. In
it's crazy.
The cutting edge doesn't stay cutting very long.
I'm afraid my Note 8 is going to last me many, many years. I will try to run that one into the ground. I can't imagine needing... really using anything more than this thing. I mean, do that, I'll go to a tablet or a PC or something. But as far as the power you can hold in your hand, oh, my gosh.
Yep. This being, again, we're recording this program on Thursday, and we're going to go ahead and hit our bottom-of-the-hour break here at KCNR, which is our flagship station. And if you're listening on the podcast, we'll be right back. If you're listening to the radio show, we'll be back in about 5 minutes. It's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. More of the tech news you could use after this. It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423. What shall we
do about them? Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR. What shall we do about them?
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. A racist is not someone who wants immigrants to obey the law. A homophobe is not someone who rejects a specific lifestyle. An Islamophobe is not someone who wants terrorists to be excluded from entry to this country. A fascist is not someone who believes in their country and wants freedom from government tyranny. This is name-calling, used in an attempt to intimidate you and quiet your opinion. Remember, God's moral values never changed. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Hi, this is Dan Beans, director of the Redding Electric Utility. REU is celebrating National Public Power Week October 1st through the 7th. Please join us at our open house on Friday, October 6th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at our offices located at 3611 Abtec Parkway. There will be free bucket truck rides, pole climbing and tree trimming demonstrations, and much more. Food trucks will be on site, and all REU customers will receive a $5 food truck voucher. Let's celebrate our nonprofit community-owned utility. For more information, call 339-7200.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Redding, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work.
something that's earned advanced automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Every week, Boomer Tech Radio brings you goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and tech news that you can use. Hear it on the podcast right here on KCNR 1460. I've got a couple of GoPros. Of course, that's the little camera that actually defined the action camera movement. It was quite the smash. We met the people behind the GoPro at CES a couple of years ago. Started out with a guy who wanted to capture his surfing. So, and there was nothing on the market that would do it, so we actually got together with some friends and developed this little bitty camera with a wide-angle lens that has become, of course, basically the icon. Then broadcasters found how cool it was, a little lightweight camera that would get very high-resolution images. And you see a lot of these reality shows where somebody's doing something crazy. They mount them on little pods in front of their heads. You can get the face shot and all that. Well, they're up to the Generation 6. GoPro Hero 6. Big Hero 6. If you haven't seen the movie, that's a great movie.
I know. It's kind of a coincidental thing. Huh?
Cool movie. But it's based, call it the Little Hero 6. What do you get for $500? Well, GoPro CEO Nick Woodman is revealing the next generation of the company's Hero Cam. Now, their sales have slipped a little bit. The Karma drone, which was originally just an absolute flop, literally, hurt them a little bit more. Plus, other companies started undercutting the GoPro because it is a $500 camera. Impressive specs, though. The Hero 6 captures 4K video at 60 frames a second. If you're willing to scale back to 2.7K video, you get 120 frames. And if you just good old ordinary 1080p, which most people in the boomer generation can't really tell the difference anyway, it's still a whole lot better than those TVs we grew up with.
Yep.
240 frames a second. Which is pretty cool, because if you like to do super slow motion, having that extreme frame rate
really smooths it out. Smooth it out, and also you can slow it down.
Company is going to push the limits on what the camera can do with computer vision and machine learning capabilities. The GoPro Hero 6 will fit. Now, with the Hero 5, they changed the packaging of the camera quite a bit. So the cases don't work. The mounts are all still all the same. But the Hero 6 will fit in a Hero 5 case. And also will fit onto the Karma drone. So that's nice to hear. $500. So look for that price to drop in about a year or so. Good stuff.
There's most of the changes, according to this article, are largely internal.
Right.
With this version of GoPro, including some apparently fairly impressive image stabilization software, and so it's the functionality does have a little bit different look on the outside. It's a lot cleaner, I think, than simpler or what have you.
They went to that more rounded case with the 5.
Well, yeah.
Which is different. The previous generations would fit in these really spiffy plastic cases, but you don't need the plastic case anymore because the casing of the Hero 6 and the Hero 5 before it is inherently waterproof down to 30 feet. If you're going past 30 feet, you need some specialty stuff anyway. So most people who go snorkeling are fine. If you're snorkeling, you're not going to go go that deep. Let's see here. Oh, boy, we talked at the top of the hour about Echoes and Amazon's Alexa system. A whole bunch of new products being announced today. The new Echo for $149 has a lot of new features, including a built-in smart home hub. Echo has already partnered with, have already partnered with 100 different companies, including Philips, And the new device ships with a Hue light bulb along with it. And what's in the Philips Hue light bulb is actually a wireless controlled LED light where you can screw this thing into any light socket, but it has intelligence built into it so that you can say, hey, what's her name? Dim the lights by half, and she will do it. I try not to say her name too often on this show.
I was doing some shopping on Amazon last night and saw that the new Echo is $100. $99.
Yeah.
Well, it might not be the new. It might not be the. No, it wasn't a Dot. I don't think it was a Dot. What's the shorter one that's here in this picture? Is that a Dot?
No, that's there's the Touch and the Dot. The Dot is the one that's about 3 inches high.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those. They didn't have that pictured. Well, check it out because I'm not sure which one, which Echo it is, but one of them was for sale for $99.
Yeah. That's some pretty. If you go on Amazon, you'll find some interesting prices on this stuff. Something Amazon is adding to their toolkit: multi-step routines. Now, this is basically macros where you give a single command and it carries out a whole sequence of events.
Hey, device. I'm home, and all the lights come on, and the
For instance,
TV comes on or whatever.
Good morning could bring up your lights,
Start
the coffee maker, do a number of other things, all based on what's called macro. Now, this is nothing new. When I was doing home automation,
we had to touch macros, the screen.
Yet you would touch a screen, and it would set off a whole sequence. The difference was, of course, these home automation systems back in the 1990s were upwards of $3,000-$4,000.
Very expensive.
This is a $150 box. You
and
add
it's
some more
voice
pieces.
Activated.
Yeah, it's all voice. Computer, which tea, you, Earl Grey, hot.
Yeah.
Actually, if you ask a Miss A for tea, Earl Grey, hot, she gives you some snarky answer.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, one thing. Now, we also have a Google Home. We keep them at opposite ends of the house so they don't argue when we're away. I made a phone call using my Google Home, and it was actually by accident because I whipped out my Note 8, and I said, "Okay, G, dial," and I gave the number, and the phone in my hand just vibrated, but the Google Home in the bedroom fired off and started dialing the number. They went, ran in there, had a very nice phone conversation. It sounds great.
Huh.
So it is a voice-activated speakerphone, and you just read off the number, or you can have a contact list. And you can say, call Bob, call Jim, call Brenda, call whoever, and it will go to your contact list and dial the call. Now, of course, it won't do emergency calls, and I tell you that right up front, that you do not use it for emergency calls. But for somebody who has difficulty getting around the house, this is pretty cool.
Or arthritic fingers.
Yeah, or bad fingers or whatever.
Hard to punch buttons on a phone.
So if you own an Echo, you can now do this for an additional $35. The Amazon Echo Connect will connect Echo devices to landline phones. The idea here, unlike the Google Home, the Echo Connect will be able to dial 911 when you've fallen and you can't get up.
That's the add-on device.
Yeah. This plugs into your RJ11 jack, that's your regular telephone jack. So even if you've got voice over IP, as long as it uses the standard phone jack and you get a dial tone when you pick it up, this thing will plug into it, and then your Echo, for $35, will be able to make phone calls. So you can be sitting there at your desk or whatever. You can say, oh, you know what, I need to call so-and-so, and you just order the machine to call him, or you just read out the number. Or you can say, call 911. This is separate from the voice service that Amazon has to some devices that allows you to place VoIP calls and to other Echo devices. The neat thing here is that you can make emergency calls, unlike with the Google Home.
That can be a crucial safety feature for some people. But they finally solved that problem.
Yeah. And it doesn't end there. BMW is adopting Alexa as the voice assistant of choice in their cars and minis. In BMWs and minis, starting in 2018, drivers will be able to drive and talk to Alexa, getting answers in spoken form from the assistant. But Alexa will also deliver graphics like weather into the heads-up display. This according to a press event held in Seattle. Drivers will be able to do things like order their garage door and order pizza. They're a very essential operation for any BMW owner.
Oh, my gosh.
From using nothing but the power of voice. So we're getting...
Well, okay, back up a little bit. Because if your if your car is connected to your phone, you can do a lot of these voice commands and things like that with your phone, smartphone, connected via usually Bluetooth, to your car. So this is separate from that. You don't necessarily have to fire up your phone. This is an integrated system in the car, just like the car stereo or your heater controls or whatever. It shows up off the showroom floor with this thing. So that's a little different. It's not that we haven't had this capability before by having our phones connected to the car and say, you know, hey, phone, dial mom or something like that, and it'll do it. It's for hands-free driving.
Yep.
So this is just a variation on that theme.
So smartphone manufacturers are always looking for something that will set their product apart from everybody else, right? So you've got a device in your hand that has replaced your camera, your video recorder, your voice recorder, your Walkman,
your
TV remote control, your notepad, your computer,
and your phone, your telephone.
So what else is left?
Oh yeah.
How about bug repellent? That's right, LG's latest.
Everything.
Spark appears in a phone that integrates an ultrasound mosquito repeller in its back hump that is said to be an effort to appeal to users in India. India is a huge market for smartphones, by the way.
Right, but they also have a lot of mosquitoes.
Yeah, they have. Yes, indeed. The K7i sound-emitting gadget works on a similar devices to things we've seen, as seen on TV, emitting ultrasonic waves that are inaudible to humans, but apparently spook the mosquitoes. LG is including this technology in other home appliances it makes, such as air conditioners and even TVs. It's inaudible to you, but apparently it drives the bugs, buggy.
Repels the nasty little things.
Yeah, so just what everybody needs, bug repellent in their smartphone, so you don't have to carry that big bulky can around in your pocket.
It's design wars between companies and these devices as well. Same thing with the phone covers. Speaking of which, you might talk a little bit about your cheapy, highly rated.
So thing that was like, of course, when you get a new phone, nothing that you have fits, right?
Yeah.
So we went online, and I found for about $20 a very nice case for my Note 8 from a company called Spigen, and it's a nice blue color.
Yeah,
and it's the neat thing is
midnight blue.
Yeah, it's a midnight blue.
I love the kickstand,
and it has a little fold-out plastic kickstand. Now it looks a little on the flimsy side, but if you don't abuse it,
right,
it'll hold the phone up in the landscape mode, so you can watch movies on it or actually tie a keyboard to it and use it as an entry device,
or set it down while you're eating your soup or whatever the deal is.
Most important thing though is that it's grippy on the side.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because the very slick glass, you've got a thing that costs $1,000. Pretty much.
Yeah, more or less.
And
close
they make it slippery as hell.
Yeah, I don't get that. Is that just
it's supposed to look really
easier?
Cool. Yeah.
I don't know, but man, it's like it's coated with Teflon.
I was scared to death for the first week I had this thing. It didn't have a case on it yet that I was going to drop the stupid thing.
And I spent the fortune to get one right away because I knew I'd probably drop it. Yeah. So I'm thinking about getting another case for it, but actually this one performs quite well, even though it's just black and I hate that because it's hard to find an all-black phone case in your
Urban
purse.
Armor Gear, I think, is going to make a case. And I don't know, we should call them up and say, hey, remember those nice cases you gave us back at CES? we'll say nice things about
them. Yeah, exactly. No, they already have one out, I think. Yeah. I thought they did. Yeah. I'll have to look that up again.
So I also got a holster. And those are kind of, I prefer, now a lot of people stuff their phone in their back pocket, which I just, I'm not putting $1,000 phone in my back pocket because stuff falls out of my back pocket. Or I sit on my back pocket.
Sit on our back pockets. I think everybody does that.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Shop around when you're looking for new cell phone cases as well.
Yeah. And buying the case at the store where you bought the phone is a little bit like buying your HDMI cable at the Best Buy where you got your big screen TV.
It's a bit like that. But when you go online, you'll find that most of these, I've found a lot of the cases that the phone stores have, they're pretty much the same price as what you see online. So they're not, nobody's got them for cheap.
No.
That's what's so frustrating.
But you can look at the reviews and see who, because customers are savage. If a product is not working right, man, they they will make it very, very clear.
Mm-hmm.
We got a nice, and then the screen protector. Now, unlike our S7s, which had a slightly curved screen, the Zag screen protectors wouldn't stay put. They immediately bubbled and fell off, and I just went around without my screen protector because I had a good Urban Armor Gear case that had a nice lip all the way around it. This particular cover from Spigen, S-P-I-G-E-N, has a raised lip on either end, but it also doesn't fit so tight that it pushes the glass, because we have this little thin layer of glass protects your screen from minor scratches and dings. It doesn't force the glass, the protector, off of the front glass.
Yeah, we had a lot of trouble with parts playing together in a friendly manner with the previous one. By the way, The Zog or Zag, or I don't know, Z-A-G-G is the is how you tell the company. They make a very fine protective screen gizmo, and it's actually a piece of glass itself. And the thing is, if your phone lands on a pebble on the ground or something like that, smack onto the screen, it'll break that and not your phone's screen.
It absorbs the impact first.
The $35 that you pay for these things, or depending on the size of the phone,
whatever.
Yes, a screen
replaces $500-$600.
Exactly. Is well worth it on your phone, particularly if you're prone to dropping it. And you drop it in the the water doesn't matter. That's not going to hurt your screen, but... it's when it lands on something when it gets dropped that it's a problem. So that company is a fantastic company to work with. If you order things online from them or whatever, I've gone in and registered the couple that we've had, and you can do a live chat, and they're right there, and the people that are in the live chat are very knowledgeable to answer questions or what have you. And in fact, with our last phones, they sent me complimentary screen covers because the ones we had bought were flat and the new ones had a slightly rounded edge, and they sent them to us for free. We weren't able to use them successfully, but that doesn't mean that the company didn't do right.
Service.
Yeah, that was very much customer service. They were great that way. We happen to like Night Eyes as well.
Yeah, those are nice cases.
Have some cases, and that was your last holster.
Yeah, that was a good thick leather case. This leather case is a little bit on the thin side. I don't think it's going to last for terribly long. Nice, though, in that instead of a Velcro closure, it has a magnet closure.
Mm-hmm.
Super magnets.
Yeah.
And and Velcro gets full of junk.
Gets full of junk, and it also wears out.
Wears out eventually,
yes. You know, like to try to keep these things for a while since you got to pay so stinking much more.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm beginning to sound like an old person. Everything's so expensive.
One more thing about the... this, according to Android Authority, Google appears to be developing a premium Google Home with stereo speakers.
Oh.
According to a report from 9 to 5, the company is said to be working on a higher-end version of the Home, which may go by the name of Google Home Max. Stereo speakers set up a more premium design and higher-quality materials because the Google Home, considering what it does, is pretty amazing. And it's not ugly, but it's plasticky. It's a piece of fabric-covered plastic.
Yeah, but it sits there and does nothing. It's not like you have to handle it all the time.
Exactly.
So it doesn't really need to be, you know, something fancy, schmancy that way.
I will say something kind of neat about the, we use ours as an alarm. And it has a very pleasant
wake-up
call and an alarm tone.
Yes.
And
it wakes you up, but it doesn't jar you awake. I love to know about the research that went into that. That would be really interesting. It is.
Can I sign up to be a sleep tester?
Yeah, it's not obnoxious, and it doesn't jar you awake. Yeah.
A lot of people still don't want a microphone tied to the internet in their house, and I get that.
All they're going to hear from us is snoring.
Pretty much, yeah.
Occasional cat meow or purr.
Yeah, the cats.
Dog bark.
Yeah, they may. Yeah. So I don't have a problem with the thing in my house.
They'd
if somebody hacks it.
Pretty boring.
Yeah, I'd be a really boring hack. Let's see here. I think I'll read this. I mentioned during the top of the news that Zuckerberg is just shaking his head, as a lot of people do at Donald Trump, for the tweets that Trump put out implying that Facebook has been a nemesis for conservatives in general and Trump in particular. Zuckerberg is saying that the idea that anything up on Facebook could actually change the outcome of the election. Of course, there's all this weird stuff about Twitter's revealing that Russian operatives had accounts during the election cycle. Okay. Yeah, you want to connect those dots, fine. But I don't think that actually altered the election. There are so many different scenarios that altered the election. You know, the election now is a better part of a year behind us. Let's kind of step forward instead of staring back over our shoulders, shall we? You know, that's just my opinion. Let's see here. This is something that, you know, Zuckerberg kind of just went down the line here. Trump says Facebook is against him. Liberals say we help Trump. Both sides are upset about ideas and contents they don't like. That's what running a platform for all ideas look like. And I saw just as much for as against when I looked at Facebook, and it was all disgusting, frankly.
Yeah.
It was all repulsive.
Ho-hum. What's the real truth? We're never going to know that anyway, so.
And finally, file this one under, you can't make this up for this hour of Boomer Tech Radio. It's a development that wouldn't be out of place in that TV show Black Mirror, which is the very dark anthology science fiction series. We could soon be worshipping an artificially intelligent god figure. That's right. According to state filings that showed up in Wired, Uber disgraced engineer Anthony Lewandowski has established a nonprofit religious corporation called Way of the Future. Its mission, and I'm reading this verbatim, to develop and promote the realization of a Godhead based on artificial intelligence and through understanding and worship of the Godhead contribute to the betterment of society.
Can anyone say Max Headroom?
Yep. Where does this come from? In the last 2 months, we have seen robots performing funeral ceremonies and AI chips mimic the human brain. Could we really be that far from Ex Machina?
Yeah, makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It's the organization is not responding to requests for comment. A quick look at the resume, including Mr. Lewandowski. Is co-founder of autonomous trucking company Otto. Apparently, he's made a whole bunch of money, and it has made him crazy. We're done with 1 hour of Boomer Tech Radio. Lots more of tech news you can use. If you're listening to the podcast, it'll be in just a moment for broadcast listeners. You'll hear the top of the hour news for 5 minutes, and then back to the show. We'll be back.
Good, honest, reliable.
More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump's lashing out at the mayor of Puerto Rico's capital city in a war of words over recovery efforts after Hurricane Maria smashed into the U.S. territory. Mr. Trump criticizing San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz for her criticizing the Trump administration's hurricane response. But Governor Ricardo Rossello, who's staying out of the fray, says in his eyes, President Trump and the federal government have been responsive.
Whenever we have an ask for this effort, they have delivered.
Rossello says progress is being made with gasoline distribution, and he says 11 regional staging areas have been set up across Puerto Rico to distribute food and water.
In addition to that, FEMA has taken several other missions so that we can go to direct municipalities where hard to reach, the roads, although accessible, are harder to reach.
The president planning a trip to the island on Tuesday. A grassroots group that's organized parents to keep schools in Catalonia open so they can be used as polling places for Sunday's independence vote says the referendum could be in jeopardy unless more balloting stations can open. Spanish Foreign Affairs Minister Alfonso Dastis accuses the Catalan government of making a mockery of this democracy.
Referendum do not equal or do not equate democracy. In fact, they are the instrument of choice of dictators.
Spain's constitutional court suspended the independence vote more than 3 weeks ago, and the national government calls it illegal. Police have been ordered to stop ballots from being cast Sunday and have been cracking down for days, confiscating millions of ballots and posters. A federal judge denied efforts by drug makers to block Maryland's first-in-the-nation law against pharmaceutical price gouging. That law was to take effect on Sunday. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Mike Gallagher here for Relief Factor. You might be asking, who should consider ordering Relief Factor? Well, anyone with pain that's keeping them from doing things that bring joy to their life. Maybe taking a long walk, not having the pain, riding a bike, playing golf again without pain, opening a jar or sewing or using a hammer, even rolling out of bed every morning without pain. For me, I had hip replacement, and then I had a little bit of a scooter accident in New York, left me miserable, aches and pains until I started taking Relief Factor. Heard about them on the radio. I started to take Relief Factor, a packet in the morning, a packet in the evening. You know what? I was completely pain-free. I want to prove it to you by you taking the 3-week quick start from Relief Factor. It's only $19.95. Do you know 80% of those who take the quick start order again? We know it works. So if your pain isn't worth the price of a cup of coffee a day to lower, then you're not in much pain. If it is worth it, try the 3-week quick start. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, Relief Factor.
President Trump, in his weekly media address, says the U.S. is doing everything it can to help residents in Puerto Rico recover from the storms.
We are sending tremendous amounts of supplies, tremendous amounts of food and water, and we are sending great people to help. I know that it's been devastating. I know your police force and everything else has been absolutely hurt. But we're sending people to help.
For the Democrats, Nevada Senator Catherine Cortez Masto says millions of Americans still waiting for help in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands are feeling forgotten and neglected.
Puerto Ricans are fleeing flooded towns and cities with polluted water, some with dead bodies floating in them, and looking to mountain streams to find safe drinking water. This is a public health crisis and must be treated like one.
More news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The Environmental Protection Agency says an unknown amount of dangerous chemical linked to birth defects and cancer may have washed downriver from a Houston-area Superfund site during the flooding from Hurricane Harvey. One of those living in the area, Jonathan Ballastrine, who lives near the Superfund site, said he believes that the mud there is contaminated.
It's nasty out here. You can smell it at night. And everything was coated with this. All the tools I've been cleaning, everything, the cars, it's a soot. It's a slimy, I don't know, it's almost like, it's nasty.
The EPA has ordered the companies responsible for the San Jacinto River waste pit site to immediately address damage to a protective cap of fabric and rock intended to keep the sediments highly contaminated with dioxins from spreading. The companies, International Paper and the waste management subsidiary, McGinnis Industrial Maintenance Corp., are making initial repairs. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Welcome back. It is hour number two on Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog Living, Digital World, the tech news that you can use. We're sponsored here in Redding, California by Advanced Automotive of Redding, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. Send Cody and Tim a little love. By the way, you need your cars fixed and you live up here in Northern California, go see them. Great, great guys. Been a sponsor.
Contract, and I said to Cody, the owner, hope it's worth your while to sponsor the show. He said, hey, you help me, I help you. I think you support us, we support you. That's what he said. And very, very kind of them, and we do appreciate that support.
Oh, yeah, it's great stuff.
Of course, they get most of it back in what we spend in car repairs.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just a shell game with the money in a way.
As if you didn't have enough to be paranoid about. Story from the BBC. By the way, the stories we like to cover here are generally featured in the Boomer Tech Radio magazine on the Flipboard app. This, I'll just read this. University researchers at the University of South Australia have developed drones that can remotely measure heart and breathing rates.
Which on the face of something, like in a hospital, that kind of application could be quite handy.
Image processing systems combined with specially created algorithms allow the drones to detect vital signs in several people at once while they are moving. The drones could be deployed in nursing homes, on hospital wards, and in war zones.
Absolutely.
Or that one's still alive.
Or in law enforcement.
Yeah.
So I'm reminded of Star Trek with, you know, scanning for life signs.
Scanning for life signs, that's right. The drone will single out each person automatically and provide a trace for each individual as to where their heart rate and breathing rate is. So security comes to mind on these things. Now, it sounds intrusive and scary as hell, doesn't it?
And in certain applications, absolutely. Yep.
Why is this person's breathing elevated? Single them out for further attention.
So you go to see a political figure or a movie star or something kind of where there's a crowd, you know, there's an event, and this kind of surveillance. Exactly like you said, Bob. Why is that person
acting
ramped
funny,
up?
Yeah. Now there's a situation. Now the same technology could be used in a clinical setting where you wouldn't want to have electrodes and instruments plugged into a person.
Right. Exactly.
So if you could actually monitor their vital signs without directly contact, much less invasive.
Medical tricorder.
Yeah, McCoy's tricorder. The research grant of a desire to find non-contact sensors to replace the electrodes in newborn babies, because punching holes in newborn babies can lead to, of course, to an anybody, of course, can lead to infections. Drones have extremely high-resolution cameras, getting better all the time, and by analyzing the images from those cameras, you can detect a person's heartbeat and how fast they're breathing a little tiny bit. You have to be pretty observant. So machine learning, figuring out, this person is, because it'd be like a lie detector test. You know, suddenly the heart rate accelerates and the breathing speeds up. A person may not notice that, but a extremely powerful algorithm
would. Oh, absolutely. It'd be detectable, right? You know, it's merely observing these things.
Long-term uses include car accident to monitor a vital sign while the ambulance is on its way. The team is yet to have some commercial interest, but the industry partners are being looked at, and the researchers say that they can see this come to light in months. I'll bet you some government agency buys this thing and puts a lid on it.
Well, I don't know. Search and rescue and emergency services applications could be quite, aided by this, where they either can't get to people, or it's too dangerous to get to people, or something like that. And I'm waiting for the person that gets stuck on the cliff at the ocean, or something, and a little speaker talk to somebody. Yeah. So for some people, that would be enormously comforting.
Yeah. Or if somebody is under the influence of something,
then a person better the drone be attacked than a person be attacked.
Yeah. Speaking of autonomous things, now, gee whiz, here's a huge news story that'll just shock the living daylights out of you. Democrats and Republicans don't agree about much. Robot driving cars, apparently okay no matter what your political affiliation. The House has approved a bipartisan pact. Both sides in the Senate agreed to a deal to make it easier for Ford, GM, and other automakers to get self-driving cars on public roads. Now, the president of Ford stated the other day that we would see more advancement in the next 3 years of automotive technology than we have seen since the beginning of automobile.
Right, for the all history of automobiles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. And that's the event that Tim was at.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Morlock of Advanced Automotive was there, and that was one of the things that he mentioned hearing. He said it just blew his mind.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see how self-driving cars do, because
there's still a lot of bugs to work out.
Right. And
especially in rural areas.
My brother pointed out something that was really interesting, is that self-driving cars may not be aggressive enough for some people who, need to, got to get that car length ahead. You have to be a traffic weaver or whatever. Riding in a self-driving car, you're not going to have
drive
that
some
experience.
People just batty.
It might drive some people batty, but how do you...
I'm not going to put my hands in the life of a machine. You do every time you climb in an elevator.
You do every time you drive the car.
Yeah, yeah.
You have faith that the brakes will work when they need to.
Yeah, the brakes or the steering.
The steering, whatever. The airbag will work if it has to.
Yeah, that your brain isn't going to develop an aneurysm, or the person in the car next to you hasn't just consumed a six-pack.
Right, exactly.
But we are afraid of that which we do not understand.
Or can't control.
Yeah, or is perceived to be out of our control.
Yeah.
But the automotive industry has been seeking U.S. approval of autonomous cars without steering wheels or pedals, if regulators can determine them to be safe. As it stands now, self-driving vehicles must have human controls. And this is what the... right now, there's this hodgepodge. California pushed self-driving cars out because of fear. And when public has a fear, legislators say, we'll pass a law and deal with your fear and you'll vote for us. That's how it boils down. We'll pass a law to deal with your fear so you'll vote for us.
I'm not sure of the logic there, but...
there is none.
Think about this, though. I mean, how nice would it be... airplane service in Reading is somewhat limited, and it's best if you're going south catch a plane, then you can go, you know, east or west or whatever. But if you want to go north, it's quite awkward. You got to go south before you can go north, and that's true anyway. But a lot of folks drive to Sacramento because you can get more flights. You have more options, and you have a lot better price options, typically. Not always, but a lot of times you do. So wouldn't it be nice just to get in the car in Reading and say, okay, you know, car, take me to the airport? And you can snooze the entire way.
Exactly.
Drink beer.
You could have a fleet of these minivan-sized rigs that would hold 2, 3, 4 people at a time.
Yep.
You climb in this thing. You sit back. You open up your book or put on your headphones or curl up and take a nap. And it just zips you on down there rather than a great big bus with three or four passengers on it.
Right.
Burning all that fuel. Or the cost of a driver who you... pay them to drive people down. Well, they got to come back empty.
You still you could have an autonomous bus, which is fairly efficient.
Yeah,
sort of like a train is efficient.
Yeah.
You know, the more people you put in there.
But small, you know, scaled public transportation, which I've talked about quite a bit here.
Yep. I would think that that's going to be very feasible at some point in time. But how do you mix the autonomous cars with the manually operated?
I think there will be, just as we have HOV lanes now,
That
there will be special lanes for the self-driving vehicles.
It makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
All right. So, if you have kids, send them out.
If you have kids, send them out?
If you have kids in the room, now I doubt if the family's crowded around the Victrola listening to this radio show.
No, probably. Yes.
The Lone Ranger.
Spoiler alert, the following story has adult content.
Might be disturbing. Yeah, don't you love that on NPR?
Might disturb some listeners.
Yeah, the following story may disturb some listeners. and I'm going to vary. This according to the London Mirror. A display model, and this is headed under literally weird news.
Yeah, it's weird.
It don't get no weirder than this, boys and girls. Samantha the sex doll was reportedly left filthy and in need of repairs while being displayed at a show. The doll was broken and had fingers broken and was considerably damaged. And the story has slid off my screen.
Oh, well, the owner of the developer, actually, this happened at the Arts Electronica Festival in Linz. I'm not, this is in Spain, I believe, or was it somewhere else? But the developer's from Barcelona, Spain. Anyway, this particular device that they had on display was rather abused.
Yeah.
And
was left, quote, heavily soiled.
Yes, well, you know, whatever. How this could happen in broad daylight is a good question, but they don't explain any of the details of this in this story. And, you know, we've talked about sex robots before on this show. They are a reality. They're out there.
Yeah.
And this is a growing thing, and it's not necessarily just men that would be interested in these kinds of things. It would be just about anybody, and it's like the internet got a lot of
television
development.
Television was going to make us all idiots, although having seen a few episodes of various shows lately, I'm beginning to wonder.
Yeah. But, wasn't the sex industry largely behind the development
the
of the Internet?
The
VCR, too.
The VCR.
Yeah, all of these kinds of things. So this is not a new thing.
Yeah.
Entertainment and sex with all of these things is definitely not a new combination by any stretch of the imagination.
Now, if
this
you
is just the next technological kind of thing.
Now, this gets explored in depth in one of my favorite movies, Ex Machina. The idea of sexual relationships with robots, and actually all the way back to the original Westworld and, of course, the reboot on HBO, the moral implications of if you have a very humanoid device that is not, in fact, human, can people treat it? however they want, right, according to their desires, without consequences. Of course, in Westworld, it turns out that the robots do kind of care how they're being treated, and rise up and start beating out the humans who have been so abusive to them. And so it is with any enslaved population. So we're still a long way from self-aware machines. But the larger question now, according to a lot of feminists and observers, is, are we allowing some individuals to work out their fantasies in a harmless setting, or are we stoking those fantasies to the point where the person will not be able to get enough satisfaction out of abusing, say, the robot, and move on to flesh and blood?
There's an interesting question there for the psychologist. The thing about this particular robot at the show was that it has some lifelike features.
I'm looking at a picture.
Yeah, and it makes noises and so on and so forth in response to touch, and talks as well as that sort of thing. Coming up with these, apparently, is that as the sex robots become more and more human-like, that come with all of the human-like accoutrements. Mm-hmm. Some say that this is a good thing, and others say it's a bad thing. It objectifies,
women,
yeah. Well, it objectifies women or men. It doesn't matter, because you can have, it's not just female sex robots,
yeah,
necessarily.
Yeah. And we talk about, the ultra-connectedness of the world seems to have created people who are absolutely alone and isolated. Amidst the most connected world ever, there are people who are lonely and shut off, and their only contact is through their device. Well, what if their only contact narrows further to their robotic companion, and they might never leave the house? This has been played through in science fiction a lot lately, over the years, in fact. So
it's just
we do live in odd times.
Well, it's an interesting aspect of technology when you think about it. It's humans being analog and humans being human. I think it's only natural that such technology is developed and, for lack of a better word, exploited. It's part of the human experience, I guess. Yeah. It's inevitable. That's because we are human.
Yeah.
That we're not a digital being.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're an analog being.
Which is, we hate to admit it, there are some messed up people out there.
True.
Steering them in the right direction. That's not for me.
Rena.
Moving right along. According to the Daily Telegraph out of London, the U.S. and Russia might play nice on the moon. This sounds like something out of the TV series Space 1999, which was actually produced in 1975 by Gerry Anderson. It was the last of his shows. Gerry Anderson's the guy who did Thunderbirds and Supercar and Sting. Well, they created a series. Their last show that they produced, they also did UFO, which is a very neat, funky show.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Their last series was done in 75, called Space 1999, involving a moon base where all the atomic weapons from all the world were disposed of. Well, all the bombs went off and pushed the moon out of orbit and sent it careening off across the universe. Let's play fast and loose with the laws of physics. Never explain how you can accelerate to those speeds without, turning into gas. Anyway, the series starred Martin Landau and Barbara Bain, fresh off of their Mission Impossible stint, and the show lasted for 2 years, which some people thought was about 2 years too long. It had, for the time, some spectacular special effects. Now, mind you, this was right around the time Star Wars was coming out. And, of course, Star Wars blew away the world of special effects totally and completely. Anyway, U.S. and Russia are thinking about building the first lunar station. The NASA-led project would be part of a long-term project to explore deep space and eventually send humans to Mars. Now, there's been discovered Actually, if you go to the poles, there is a fair amount of water on the moon in the form of ice
mm-hmm.
that has been verified and discovered. And there's other things that the element helium-3 is fairly common on the moon, and helium-3 could be a power source for sustainable fusion.
Uh-huh.
It is a fusion fuel, but there's not very much of it on the Earth, but there's apparently a fair amount of it on the moon.
Well, one of the interesting things that they know from folks spending time in the International Space Station is that in lighter gravity or in the absence of gravity, weird things start to happen. You know, your eyeballs change shape, for instance. And there's a number of other health issues that develop. Obviously, that you know, that's well known. The bones have a little trouble staying in good shape because there's no resistance exercise to help keep your bones strong and things like that.
That American came back who spent over a year. And he's having to kind of come back to Earth over time.
Yeah. Right, but his identical twin brother, there are definite changes. In that year that the one spends in space. So before we get too excited about having lunar, colonization.
Well, at least some gravity.
Well, yes. What is it, a sixth of?
1/6, yeah.
Yeah, of Earth's gravity. But that still doesn't provide the same kind of physiological environment as being on Earth does.
Yeah, well, the series The Expanse talks about that,
right.
That these people who were born and raised in space have these very long, spindly limbs.
And they're very fragile bones.
Yeah, they can't handle Earth gravity.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So before we get too excited about these things, we have, we know that there are, it's not like you can go live there like you live on the Earth.
Yeah.
Aside from the lack of oxygen,
if someone is
water,
born there, they probably are going to have to stay there. Humans might be able to exist in these environments, right. But it's a one-way trip.
It's an interesting thing.
Before we take our, we've got a few minutes to the break at the bottom of the hour. Developing story, apparently a lot of check-in systems at airports all around the globe are crashing.
Hacked or something.
Yeah. Some of the world's busiest airports, Heathrow, Zurich, Melbourne, Johannesburg, Singapore, and Reagan National Airport. A network issue hit the software the early hours of Thursday morning. That story still is developing as of today. Haven't seen an update on it, but is this a hack or is it another? Because remember the Sabre network went down a couple of years ago, and it was right after a software update, and it turned out to be just a big old mess.
Oops.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the things I suspect is that airlines no longer have the means to check people in more manually, right?
Yeah, right. Now it all has to go through the system.
Right, and the automated check-in things and that sort of thing. So this could be a real problem or at least a slowdown for getting airlines staying on time and such like.
All right, yet another thing to think about. Somebody who wants to steal your money, Netflix customers have been practically everybody has Netflix, right?
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get you, right?
In the last day or so, customers have been receiving emails purporting to be from Netflix soliciting their account information. WGN Chicago saying the scam emails inform users their accounts have been disabled. It recommends you update your payment details. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
We are having some trouble with your current billing information, the emails read. We'll try again, but in the meantime, you may want to update your payment details. The email then directs you to a login page where you are asked to enter your account information.
No, that's a red flag right there. That's classic phishing. If you have any questions about that, get out of this completely and go into Netflix yourself.
It doesn't help that the email is signed by Alexander. Netflix executives say they don't have anybody with that name. So
why do they do these things, right? It's spelled
because it works.
Aleksandar.
Yeah.
Although these days people do have different spellings for the names.
Yeah. Well,
so
that's probably a Russian variation.
You might not think anything of such a thing. But
I have said it before. I will say it again. I will say it in the future. But I'll say it now. Don't click a link in an email.
That's given to you when it's soliciting, especially when it's soliciting account information.
Yeah. It's just bad juju.
I had an email from a company that said that the auto pay account, the credit card was soon expiring. And go to the account and update your information. They did not provide a link. They did not ask for that information. I have to go in and do that. And as a matter of fact, it was legit. It was legit. They're right.
As you should. Yes. Never click an email link. Boomer Tech Radio, goodies, gadgets, gizmos, tech news you could use. More after this.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure the oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems all have been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't need to drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes and more with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier's in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
I'm here with Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX-9000.
The DRX-9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX-9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica.
We hear over and over about people just having or getting ready to have back surgery. Now, why is that?
Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical decompression like the DRX-9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs.
Explore all options and potentially avoid a painful, long, expensive recovery with back surgery. See if the DRX-9000 is right for you. Call Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists, 243-2300. You can also find them online at ShastaSpine.com.
With on-site and patrol officers covering Northern California 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, North State Security works diligently to protect clients and their businesses from civil liabilities and criminal activity. With well-trained, highly visible officers and proactive mindsets toward assessing and engaging suspicious and sometimes dangerous situations, North State has been your ounce of prevention since 1968. Call North State Security at 243-0295.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Boomer Tech Radio, Bob, Brenda, and the tech news you can use. Sorry if I'm a little raspy. I'm trying to get some water in me as we speak here. Last segment before we head up to the end of the show. If you want to listen to previous episodes of the show, or maybe keep this one for posterity, go to BoomerTechRadio.com, download the show, and you will have your very own copy. By the way, a little love to the composer, performer of our theme music. It's called 8-Bit Junkie, kind of like an old Atari game theme. George Wood had that on the PodSafe Music Network. I heard it 8 years ago, and I said, I'm going to use that. And so I wrote George and said, hey, you mind if I use your music? He said, sure, go ahead. I'm not making any money on
this. I still have that letter on file.
Yeah.
Or the note, yeah. Email, something. Anyway, I have it documented.
So we have a couple of people who are kind of hacking folk on here. I know that, of course, Rover is quite the electronics nerd. He's a regular listener of this show. He would prefer we did the show live every week. It's like,
well,
it kind of divides up our weekend.
Not only that, that's it.
And your working weekend.
Yes,
right now.
That's not possible right now.
So, question was sent to the tech editor at the New York Times. And it says, the question was, I like Android and PC applications, but I want to run Android on my iPad.
Okay. That's like saying I want to put...
I also have a Kindle Fire, but I want the true Android environment. The 10-inch Galaxy Tab S3 is too expensive. I keep seeing reports that Google Drive, Photos, Docs, and other Android apps work fine on iPads. Well, there are Google versions of those applications.
Right, there's many applications
made for iOS.
Exactly. Many applications have an iOS version and a Google version.
Yeah. iOS 11, by the way, is out. Word up is that don't upgrade until 11.1 or 11.01 because there are battery power problems.
Ooh, yeah. Why can't they figure this stuff out before they send it to the real world?
They send it out into the wild and everybody goes, my device ran out of power in 3 minutes.
Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah, you're going to want to wait till. And I'd never do one of these updates until the 0.1 or the 0.01 comes out. There's always a problem.
I procrastinate because I don't get around to it for a while, and then sometimes this is how you avoid problems. Yeah. Procrastination does pay upon occasion.
There is something known as the law of cybernetic entomology. There is always one more bug.
Oh my gosh!
Anyway, back
so
to,
true though. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Back to the New York Times article here. The response was, "Well, iPads run iOS, which is a whole different software platform designed specifically for the Apple design chips that are in the iPad."
Right. Asking you to put your Android stuff on an iOS operating system is like putting Microsoft on Apple or vice versa. That's just not.
And
the way it works.
You can get an Android tablet for pretty cheap, although I wasn't too happy with the cheapy ProVision Android tablet I got. I wound up taking the thing back. Instead, I wound up with a Galaxy Tab Galaxy Tab E8-inch, which I love. Nice little processor. I'm not going to do any major video work on this thing, but as a backup reading device, as my main reading device, and as a backup travel pad, the Tab E is pretty hard to beat for the money.
And I agree. Some of these devices are expensive, but there are cheaper versions out there. You can also find used devices
Absolutely.
A lot of times that are far more affordable. So I'm not sure what this person's driving at, but go ahead.
If you wanted to get a $329 entry-level iPad, you could, if you really wanted to, hack it to take the Android operating system. If you just absolutely, because you do it because you can. Some folks have come up with methods. There's a company called Wirecutter that says that they... okay, it's actually you have to search around. Wirecutter makes a is a product recommending site. They say that probably one of the best low cost tablets is the Asus ZenPad 3S 10 inch as the top Android tablet. So really, you don't need to hack into an iPad for any reason that I can discern.
First of all, iPads are not cheap.
No,
I don't care what version of iPad you get; they are not cheap, and it's. An Android operating system, a device using an Android operating system, or if you have to have the Android operating system, get a device that's designed to work with that. There's all kinds of bizarro compatibility issues and things like that in there. It's not unlike an older computer can't handle, say, Windows 10.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to have the right amount of memory and processing and all of these things. There's a great deal of time that's spent by these computer folks to make sure that a application or program will run in compatibility with that operating system.
And something else that people are starting to run into, both in iOS and in Windows, is we have transitioned to more powerful processors that will handle what's called 64-bit software. Until recently, software was written to operate on what's called a 32-bit processing system, which is it refers to the amount of chunks of memory that it can address at any one time. A 64-bit system can address much, much larger chunks of memory than can a 32-bit. But a lot of the applications that we know and love were written for time just in 32, and there are versions out in both, and you have to pick the right one. Right. And you just ran into that.
Well, you have to pick one that's compatible with your machine. Your 64-bit machine can run either the 32 or the 64-bit version of programs. There may be reasons, even though you have a 64-bit machine, to run the 32-bit program that because of whatever, the software manufacturer can make some recommendations. But you cannot run a 32-bit
machine with 64-bit
with
software.
64-bit, right. You can't take the 64-bit software on a 32-bit machine.
Yeah.
It won't work.
Yeah.
And so you have to, it's real easy to find out the details about your computer. You just go in the control panel and look at it if you have a Microsoft machine, and I don't know what Apple has, but they have something similar.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I have an old Panasonic Toughbook that's pretty old with a 32-bit processor. And I wanted to put Skype on it. Well, Skype is no longer offered as a 32-bit application.
That seems dumb.
Yeah. Well, who owns Skype now?
I forgot.
That would be Microsoft.
Oh, there we go. Of course.
Of course Microsoft doesn't want you to be able to use a 32-bit application. They want you to buy a new Surface.
Well, and that's the whole thing.
They want you to buy Windows 10 on a Surface.
I have a coworker.
$1,000.
I have a coworker who has an iPhone 4S.
Yeah, and then all those 32-bit apps are going to die.
This is a 3G phone, and pretty soon the 3G network isn't going to exist.
Yeah, yeah.
And so... he rails against the cost of a new device. I can't argue with you.
Yeah.
So buying a used one would be a good option for him. He's perfectly willing to do that. But sometimes finding those is really tough. So
a lot of people hang on to their devices till the bitter end, and then until they're obsolete,
or they get repurposed to do something different. Right, exactly. We've done that. We still
have
our older Samsung. What is it? It's the fives were the ruggedized ones or whatever.
Yeah.
The whatever. Anyway, and they find purpose. They have jobs in the house.
By the way, according to the Verge, this is an interesting article. I found it during the show. Google has a new app that will allow you to turn an old Android tablet into a kid-friendly device. So if you have an older model tablet, it's the Family Link app. You can hand down your old Android gadget to your kids without worrying about what they might end up downloading from the Play Store or finding online. You create a Google account for the kids and download the app. Family Link allows parents to approve or block apps that the kids want to download from the Play Store, monitor screen time and what apps they are accessing. Set device time limits and lock down the device.
I like it.
At bedtime.
I like it. I think that's a good thing.
Google is directly targeting Amazon and its kid-friendly Fire tablets with the Family Link. The Amazon tablets that are set for kids let parents already do those presets. So Google following the tracks there. And as younger and younger people become more and more integrated with the hardware, parents have to kind of step in and take control.
Till some kid finds a hack for it.
Well, device is available for kids so long as you're using an Android device that runs Nougat or higher. Certain devices that run Marshmallow work. Family Link runs on an Android device running KitKat or on an iPhone running iOS 9.
So there's a good way to repurpose.
Repurposing old stuff.
Devices.
We still use our S5s. Matter of fact, I unpacked my Steadicams this week.
Yeah, not the big full-body Steadicams that you might be thinking of.
Steadicam
designed,
volts.
Right, volts designed for smaller devices.
Yeah.
They're pretty amazing.
Just started to play around with it. I've got a Samsung S5, and I've also mounted the Samsung Note, Galaxy Note 8, on one of them. We bought two because this was through a Kickstarter thing. We got them for a heck of a nice price. It's really neat, and the video that this thing takes is impressive. You'll be able to get them for about, I think it's $199 is going to be the retail. I have to double check. Maybe I'll look that up. Well, Brenda, you tell people about the, and we alluded to this during the news at the beginning of the show, Google's made changes to their search engines for folks in the EU, right? Nobody's happy.
I was headed off to look at the Steadicam bolt, but it is, you're right, it's $199.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting. Everybody has their favorite search engine, right? And what is it? Bing is Microsoft's version of that thing. I absolutely detest Bing. I think it's kind of useless myself. I'm not really. I've used to run some comparative tests with Google, do the same search on Google versus Bing, and just like Google's results better. But the displays that are in Europe. It looks like nobody's going to be happy with this.
Yeah.
So Google was heftily fined back in June at $2.7 billion. It was the largest fine ever issued by the European Commission. And they stated that this ruling was going to have some far-reaching impacts on antitrust behavior in Europe. So essentially what happened is the European Commission found that the search giant Google unfairly displayed its own shopping service above others. So that was, it was prioritizing these things in their favor. And, which of course increased internet traffic to put more money in their coffers, of course. So if you're in Europe, you're going to soon see a modified version of shopping search results on Google. And, so unlike before when Google simply gave you a list of the merchandise from its own shopping service, they now have to display ads based on auctions with clear indications of who won the bidding and all of this kind of stuff. So in the article on the Flipboard thing, it shows an example that was published in the New York Times about this. So Google's saying that it's going to sell ads to merchants and run it as a standalone business in order to address the concerns about the anti-competitive behavior that they were fined for. And so that, is supposed to make everything equal.
It's all about how much money the EU can siphon out of an American company.
Well, I suppose that's part of it, but of course, Google wasn't very happy about the ruling and the changes it's had to make. But it also seems that those on the opposite side that, you know, were...
It didn't go far enough.
Well, maybe it probably didn't go far enough, but they're not happy with the Google's response either.
They want Google just to go away in favor of who knows what.
Well, the claim is that these changes still disproportionately underrepresent small and mid-sized businesses. To me, when you go do a search, you can go down many pages and keep looking for things. Try different searches.
Refine your search,
change your search, use a different approach, come at it from another angle.
Try different keywords.
Exactly. So how could anybody ever be completely happy about all of this stuff?
No, and there's always recriminations of bias. You know, you're favoring this and that. And there is evidence of that Google gives preference to advertisers because advertisers pay the freight for Google. It is, you know, it is not free. They harvest your information.
Right.
Look for something on a Google, or better yet, look for something on Amazon and then watch your Facebook feed for a couple of
days. Oh, my God. Just look at something on Amazon. You don't even have to buy it.
Yeah.
All you have to do is look at it. All you have to do is look at it in Google. And you go to some other website, like a news site or something, and all the ads on the side show up of things you were looking at.
Yeah, or the company.
It's like, what?
I have bought products and looked at listings from B&H Photo, which is this great audio video outfit out of New York. And this is all hot. People go, Bob, why aren't you buying stuff in Reading? Because they don't sell the kind of stuff in this case that I'm buying here in Reading.
We could find it locally here. Right.
but they don't have too many of these particular devices that I tend to look for. Anyway, for the next several days, I will see B&H advertising on every site that I go to. It's a little creepy.
Just because it's there and you looked at it doesn't mean you have to buy it.
Yeah.
So.
Now, more and more people, a lot of people have heard of live stream. It's basically a way to create your own television station. And live stream was one of the first out of the gate. But now, of course, we've got Facebook Live. We've got YouTube has their live broadcasting channel where instead of making a video, then uploading it, and then people have to download it, a la podcasting, it is actually a live video stream. Bandwidth rates have reached the point where it's fairly practical to do that. Well, Livestream was the big kid on the block, but they were continuing to lose market share because of their pricing, first of all. They started out as, quote, free, then they went with an ad-supported model. They didn't make any money on that, so then they started charging some pretty outrageous amounts for their service. Well, Vimeo is another video. Vimeo was originally a place for content providers to upload their stuff on a professional level. But now Vimeo has purchased Livestream and will be offering their very own live video product. Video creators will be able to capture, edit, stream, and archive live events. The individuals will be able to host, distribute, and generate revenue from their videos. So instead of this is designed to go up against YouTube and beat them at their own game.
Right. It looks, though, as if Livestream is not going to be available necessarily. It's not aimed at the everyday person. So let's say you want to live stream your wedding because there's relatives, friends, or whatever that can't come, and they're all gathered somewhere else or, you know, whatever. I'm not sure that's exactly the kind of thing they're talking about.
This is for professional and semi-professional creators. The people who started Facebook... But now it's all corporate on Facebook. I mean YouTube.
Right. And so this would be if you have some kind of big conference event or something like that, and you hire you know, a service provider anyway. This isn't another way. So it's what's interesting to me about Vimeo acquiring Livestream is that it makes Vimeo more of a well-rounded kind of service or app or application or whatever. But it also narrows down the choices that are out there. That now this is all one. It's sort of like Amazon buying Whole Foods.
Live will be offered as a set of annual and monthly paid membership tiers across a range of prices. I'm not sure what those prices are going to be. We've looked at live streaming video a couple of times for various events, mm-hmm. but the prices have been more than we wanted to tackle. But the hardware is getting cheaper. I've got a lot of the hardware required for this. But right now, it's very clunky trying to get a video stream into the computer and set up to the cloud. You still have to jump through a lot of hoops to make that happen.
So they're working on tying in with things like iOS or Android, Roku, Samsung, and even the. I think it wouldn't surprise me, but what they're gonna tap into things like Hulu or Netflix or something like that to provide some of this content upon occasion as well. I'm reminded of things like a prize fight, you know, a boxing match or whatever,
yeah.
Where they're one-time events. And so those are available for on a pay-per-view basis. It's the same kind of thing that particular event is live-streamed at the time it occurs. Mm-hmm. So,
yep. As we get ready to wrap up, we talked about Equifax backtracking rapidly, trying to regain some credibility after losing data for 143 million Americans, putting them at risk of identity theft. Well, the chief executive of Equifax has announced his retirement.
Can't say to blame him.
Richard Smith, age 57, retired with immediate effect. He is the third senior executive to leave since the breach was reported. There are multiple state and federal inquiries chasing after Equifax with lawsuits. The criminals had exploited the company between mid-May and June, but they didn't bother letting people know that their data had been compromised until almost September, until late into August. So that's a big gap for this stuff to be just floating around out there. So another one bites the dust. I wonder what kind of, his total compensation in 2016. Okay, this is a guy who was just forced out. Richard Smith. I want to know how much money he made in 2016. Almost $15 million. And he couldn't keep our data secure. Well, he was not personally
in
charge of it.
That's the problem.
But he hired the people.
Right, and he sets the company policy or the atmosphere with that. So, well, yeah.
Probably pulls down
take
a pretty good retirement.
$14 million and run.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean,
so
you know, who? Yeah, needs. I mean, I could live on the interest alone.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do with that much money. I wouldn't have that.
So now that the Windows Phone is dead. Speaking of people who have no worries about where their next paycheck's
better go from. Have my mom get a new one. She has one.
Yeah. Guess what phone? Could you imagine Bill Gates caught using an iPhone?
Now there's a thought right there.
So rather than the indignity of being caught using an iPhone, Bill Gates is using an Android phone. So he won't even use his own product. There's talk about the Surface phone, but that's obviously still a ways out. Windows attempts at mobile devices go all the way back to 1996 with Windows CE, Windows Mobile. They have just never been able to get a working phone and probably should stay out of that business. But they're going to try again with the Surface phone. And that is it for this episode of Boomer Tech Radio. Hope you enjoyed the program. We'll be back next week with more tech news you can use. Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
From townhall.com, I'm Ron DeRockstrom. President Trump's been firing back at mounting criticism of the federal response to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico.
In the Democratic Party's weekly address, Senator Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada says,
I share in the frustrations of Americans in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands who feel forgotten and neglected.
President Trump railed against such criticism in a series of Saturday morning tweets, but Puerto Rico's Governor Ricardo Rossello defended the federal response at a news conference Saturday.
Whenever we have an ask for this effort, they have delivered.
Rossello